Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
How's it going, guys? Welcome back to Strikeout Bros. This week, we'll be talking about really interesting things, right? The name of the episode is I'm Here to Stay If. And we know who we're talking about. We're talking about Juan Soto. And Juan Soto has been playing really well this season, you know, being acquired by the Yankees via trade. And they look like they're on the path, right? Baltimore's right there hanging in, but, you know, they're losing games, and the Yankees keep, you know, winning them, and they're moving forward, and we have to be careful because these guys are, you know, on a streak. They've won 10 out of 13 series, and they're fighting, and Soto is definitely, you know, pivotal in this situation that we're talking about. Now, the interesting story that we're going to be talking about today is the Yankees are willing to talk to this guy and try to figure it out so he doesn't even go to free agency because, you know, he's in his walk year now and he is going to be looking for something north of $500 million. I can guarantee you that based on the history of this player and the offers he's denied. But here we go, Lasha. This is going to be a good one. I think that this podcast this week is going to really take off. We have a lot of good stuff to talk about here. What do you think about these things, Lasha? What do you think about what I just said?
Yeah, what's up, man? No, definitely. As we talked in the beginning of the year, I remember I had said my prediction to win the East was the Yankees, and you kind of laughed at me, said, "No way. Baltimore is just a way better team." I said, "Nope. You can never discount the Bronx Bombers." Would, like I said, Soto has really changed the dynamic of that team. They feed off of his energy and his style, and he just knows how to put the ball in play, and everything else goes forward. You know, everyone thinks of him as a home run hitter. Yeah, he is, but he's more of a line drive, wall to wall, gap to gap type of hitter. And it helps because players like Judge and Stanton, you know, Judge bats after Soto. So Judge gets a preview of what's to come when he's at bat. And also what makes it harder for the teams that are pitching to him, you know, you got to decide who you're going to pitch to, Judge or Soto. Now, Judge is more of a home run hitter, so he can kill you with one big swing. But Soto can kill you with a bunch of little sling, you know, a bunch of little shots over time and just wear you out. Especially if he's really good at fouling balls, so he gets the pitch count really high. That gets to the pitcher, and then you just get frustrated as the pitcher, and you just throw one, and then you throw one down the middle, and he catches it. That's it. You know, it could be a 3-run double or a home run. Who knows? But I think Soto's great. I'm glad to see he's doing well. I'm kind of surprised by the fact that the Yankees and Juan Soto's agent is allowing the Yankees to talk to Soto, in midseason. I don't know. It could be two things. It could be they are seriously having talks about giving a contract extension before the season's over, or they're trying to get everybody else's attention and, you know, just to kind of get them all riled up and see, oh, no, we're going to lose Soto because the Yankees are going to give him a contract. We might not even have a chance to sign him now. So what do we do? If I'm the Yankees, I would kind of be careful, because if you put out a number and he says, well, you know what, I'm going to hold off and let me wait till the offseason. Well, every team that's going to pursue him besides the Yankees already know what the Yankees offers. So, for example, right, if the Yankees say we're going to offer him 10 years, 500, oh, well, that's great. Steve Cohen down the street, 20 miles away, could say from the Mets, oh, the Yankees are going to get 500? Okay, cool. Hey, how about this? So you come to the Queens. You don't have to live in New York. You stay right where you are. We'll give you 560. What do you think? Oh, okay, cool. All right, so the Yankees, Mets are offering me 560. You know what? Let me go fly out to West Coast. I've been on the West Coast already playing with San Diego. Let's see what the Dodgers offer. Hey, Mets offer you 560. We'll give you 600. You know, and then, you know, they go to Boston and some other two teams, and then they come back to the Yankees and say, okay, well, my highest bidder was the Dodgers. They're offering me 580. What do you want to do, Yankees? Yankees like, ah, oh, shucks. We're a little more fiscal responsible than when George Steinbrenner was around. So we're going to decide not to give you that. So I don't know if we can match 565. We give you 520. That's the max we'll give you. Let's just say the Yankees say that.
Yeah.
Well, Soto could say, well, I enjoyed my time here, but I want my money. Or he could say, you know what? I don't care about the money. I love being here. I love the camaraderie. We have a really good thing going on. We're the number one team in the East. You know, we're three games ahead. We're doing really well. I see myself winning a chip here than I do going to LA or the Mets, who are kind of like on a rebuild, semi-rebuild. I call it the Rebuild Express because they're not on a full rebuild, but they're in a rebuild. So anyway, it'll be interesting what they do. I'm kind of shocked that Scott Boras would allow Soto to talk to the Yankees, but it could be all a tactical strategy. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that he has the perfect agent in this situation. Out of all the players, you know, this guy can play anywhere. He's proven it to us, you know? So I think that he's going to listen, but he's not going to take the offer right away. All right, he's already a champion. Washington offered him 400 and what, 40 million? Was it 440 million?
Something. I know, yeah, it was north 400, of 400.
Yeah, it was 15 years, right? $440 million, right? And he decided that he didn't want to do that, right? So they traded him to San Diego, and San Diego signed him for 1 year for $23 million. And then after that, the owner died. I believe that they were in talks, and they weren't able to come to a conclusion because he passed away. But I think that he's going to listen. Boras is definitely not going to allow him to sign, because think about it. This is the one player that can play anywhere. He's super clutch. He's a fan favorite, and he can really change the dynamic of a team. And he could put him in a situation where if you were close to, you know, putting it together to win a championship, he can definitely change that dynamic and make it happen and get you even closer. All right, so is he worth the money? I believe so. Do I think that $500 million or anything north of that is too much for one player? Yes, I agree with you when you say that, right? Because we have talks, you know, not only on the podcast, but we talk on a daily basis, and I agree. I think that anything north of $500 million is way too much for a player. But you know what? This guy really is clutch, and he's a performer, and he doesn't care who's watching and what's going on around him. He's always going to come through, and he's going to perform for you on a daily basis. So now, I'm not going to, think for 1 second that he's going to listen to an offer from the Yankees and say, yeah, I'll take that and run with it. Now, the Yankees, like you said, are a lot smarter now than they were back in the day when George was around. George used to buy players on a weekly basis. He didn't care. He's like, you know what? I want that guy, and I'm gonna take him off the rack. But the Yankees can't think that way anymore, you know, because these contracts hurt. Look at the Giancarlo Stanton contract.
A-Rod.
There's a lot of contracts out there that hurt the Yankees, and it took them a long time to rebuild and figure it out. I think they're a lot smarter now, and they're not going to allow a player of this caliber to hurt them for years to come. So I think that their plan is to win now, and if they do win now, it'll be easier to say, you know what? We're not willing to spend that kind of money. We won the championship, and we can rebuild and start fresh. Now, we know that for a fact because they're trying to get even better, all right? And you have to understand that Cole isn't here yet. He hasn't pitched a game this year. He's around the corner, and they can only get better, right? You have LeMahieu, who's been out as well, and he'll be coming around the corner as well. So they're looking at Goldschmidt, right, from St. Louis, right? And they're looking at Arenado. They're trying
both from
to
St. Louis.
Yeah, both from St. Louis. So they're trying to get better, faster, and they're really trying to, like, take over the AL East. In my opinion, I think the Baltimore Orioles are the divisional championship, you know, divisional champions this year. I believe so. I think they're a well-rounded team. They've been around for a while now. They have that experience. They have, I think, a better collection of players. And they're gonna be able to take over. Right now, they're a couple of games behind, but I think that it's Baltimore's division, to be honest with you. I know you think differently because, you know, you're a Baltimore Orioles fan, but I think it's the Baltimore Orioles division to lose. This guy Soto, oh my God, I don't know. I really think that it's about the money for him. Like I said, he's already a champion, and you know, he said I'm not taking a 440, which is pretty insane to me. All right, and that was right after the championship too. You know, so like, I think that he's gonna wait and he's gonna see what the other offers are, especially with an agent like Boris. All right. And you have to understand that this year he's been super hot. He's batting around .310. He has 9 home runs, 34 RBIs. And like you said, they're number one in the division. But I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, as the summer gets warmer, New York balls really fly, especially Yankees. They have a short porch. So his numbers are really just can get inflated even more. So.
Yeah, and batting from that left side, I totally agree.
Yeah, definitely.
Lefties go crazy over there.
Yeah, it. Like I said, I just because when I think of the
listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Orioles, I only can name one player where you know for sure you got worried about him because he's going to hit him on. With the Yankees, there's like three guys I know for sure they're going to hit a home run. I have to be careful too. I got to worry about Judge. I got to worry about Soto. I got to worry about Giancarlo Stanton. You know, so on. In where the Orioles, who do you got to worry about known for sure hit a home run? Gunnar Henderson. Even then, he hasn't proved to be a home run hitter.
Yeah,
so they don't have a power
that bat.
That's my opinion.
It's not about that. You don't need power when you have a good team that can, you know, produce runs in a completely different way. All right? You have to understand that. The Yankees, yeah, they're a big ball club. Yeah, they have a lot of big boys, you know, and they can hurt you, and you can never count them out. 4-0 in the eighth inning, that means nothing to the Yankees, especially when they're playing in the Bronx. But you guys have a better team. Baltimore has such a better team all around. You know, you don't need big names, but Soto is definitely a difference maker. But we'll definitely see what happens. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so speaking of New York teams, so we'd like to try to start off on the show with a positive note. But, you know, there's always the good comes with the bad. You know, it just bad comes with the good. It's what it is. So, anyway, I want to talk to you about the Crosstown, the team across in the good old Queens. The New York Mets, man, they started out well. And, you know, they were winning series left and right. And all of a sudden, they managed to hit a rut in the road. I just don't get what it is. I just think something is wrong with Edwin Diaz. I don't think he's fully recovered. He's blown a lot of games this year. I don't think he's the main reason. The other problem is they don't produce runs. Now, is it because it's not warm yet? Or they're just, you know, to me, the biggest disappointment for your Mets has been Jeff McNeil, man. He's been so sad to see, because when he's good, man, that he's really fun to watch. And he's been a disappointment, you know. So, since you're the Mets expert, what's your thoughts and concerns?
Oh, man. Concerns. I think it's time for a fire sale. I know it's early. We saw the Marlins do it recently. They got rid of their best player. I think that the Mets, you know, if you talk to Mets fans will say, all right, this is our core. Our core is, you know, Peter Alonso, McNeil, Diaz, you know, and Nemo, of course, right? You want to build around these guys, but I think that we have a new core now. I think that the core is the young guys. The core is the Brett Beatties, right? The Francisco Alvarez, right? Vientos is showing signs of life, right? Obviously, you would have to build around Lindor because, you know, we paid so much for him, and I don't think anybody's willing to pick up that contract, even if we send them away with money. It's going to be a lot of money. We've done this multiple times over the last couple of years, and I don't think that's the way to go. So now you got rid of Verlander, you have to send them back with money. You got rid of Scherzer, you have to send him back with money. So, you know, we're still paying for these big contracts that, you know, we thought were going to work out for us. And the other problem is that we have Pete Alonso, and, you know, he's due for a contract now, and he's not performing well. And what time better than now to, you know, dangle him and say, who wants this guy and what are you willing to give up? I would totally, you know, have a fire sale. Marte's out. Marte has been horrible. Alonso has been horrible. McNeil has been horrible. We can't get rid of Lindor, but I love Nemo. Nemo is still producing and, you know, doing what he does best. And I think that was a very smart contract. It's not too much. And, you know, he didn't have a problem taking it. So let's keep Nemo. Let's keep Alvarez. Let's keep Beatty. Let's wait for Mauricio to come up.
Luis Angel Acuña.
Of course. That's a given. And let's figure it out from there. We'll keep that core. But we need to get rid of Alonso, McNeil, Marte. And we need to keep Diaz. We need to figure out what's wrong with Diaz and you know, try to figure it out. Because I think that losing a closer like him, you know, and giving him away for some prospects is not going to be a good idea. We need to keep him and we need to work with him. All right. You know, apparently, you know, after the interview downstairs, after the game was over, he, you know, he cried. This guy's really emotional. He's hurting. And I think we need to give him a chance. All right. You know, I don't think that, you know, getting rid of him is going to help our situation at all. But I don't think that Alonso's willing to budge. I think he wants a lot more than I think he deserves. I think he's under pressure. I believe they offered him $158 million prior to the season starting, and he denied it. Once again, you know, he's a Scott Boras, you know, a client. And I think that's going to hurt him in the long run. Because now that we have Stearns isn't, you know, he's watching, and I don't think that Stearns is going to, you know, break out the bank for him. Because he's going to speak to Cohen. He's going to say, this guy's not producing the way, you know, he used to, and he's on the downslide. I don't think that we need to keep Alonso to win a championship. I think we need to build a new core and go from there. Obviously, the pitching, you know, is going to have to change. The pitching has been great this year, which has been funny because, like we said earlier this year, when we looked on paper, we were like, wow, this is an amazing lineup. And we were worried about the pitching, but it's been a complete opposite this year. We've lost a lot of, you know, games by one, two runs. and the pitching has been consistent. And no run support for these pitchers whatsoever. And it's funny because, you know, when you have a lineup like this, and you look at the names and, you know, what they've done over the last years, you say to yourself, all right, one guy, two guys go down, and then the rest of the staff is going to pick them up, right? So you don't need to get a hit from everybody on a daily basis to win a baseball game, you know, because you have a lot of stars in your team, a lot of, you know, homegrown players, a lot of, you know, household names. So you say, all right, Alonso didn't get a hit today. He went 0 for 4, but he hit the ball hard. But you can't even say that now because he's striking out, and his defense, I don't really care for the defense either. You know, there's something wrong with him. McNeil has been great defensively, but he's not hitting at all right? And he's a contact hitter, so it's not like he's swinging hard and trying to, you know, knock the ball out of the park. He's basically trying to slap the ball into, you know, the gaps, but he can't even do that right now. And they look mediocre, and, you know, the beginning of the season was great because we saw signs of, okay, this team is way better than, you know, what people expected. The pitching has been phenomenal, but we can't hit the ball. And it seems like when one guy can't hit the ball, it's like infectious. Nobody can hit the ball, all right? And we played a lot of big teams early on, and it seems like, you know, I've been looking at all these games around the league, and it seems like we have the hardest schedule in baseball. You know, like the Dodgers are coming back around, the Phillies, you know. We're playing all these big teams, and we're playing really close games, but we just can't finish. Or we'll have the lead, and then we'll just fall apart and lose the game in the final two innings. So I just think it's time to rebuild, you know. It comes to a point where you say, all right, this is not working out. This formula is not working out. I'm not blaming Stearns because it seems like he knows what he's doing, because we've won games, you know. We won series against a lot of big teams where I thought we weren't even going to be able to compete, you know. I thought the season was over when we went out to the West Coast and we were playing the Dodgers for a four-game series. And the Phillies, you know, they've been really hot lately, and they really just trampled us, you know.
They've been trampling everybody.
Everybody.
You guys, they're just – look at the Atlanta Braves. They're like three games ahead of Atlanta, and Atlanta's a good team, so it's not just the Mets.
Yeah, but the Mets haven't been playing well for a while now, okay? It hurts. It hurts. We're third in the division. We're 12.5 games back, right? We're barely looking at a wild card right now, right? It's insane to me. I don't know. I don't know what to say anymore. I think I've said enough, but – you know, how about your guys? Baltimore, you know, they're still fighting. They're still trying to do their thing. They're still trying to stay relevant. You know, I think that they're going to surprise you. I guarantee you they're going to surprise you. Don't count them out. Not for one second. And it's going to come down to, like, games that, you know, it's going to come down to the series, to the divisional games, you know, against the Yankees themselves. You know, it's going to be crazy. But the Marlins, even the Marlins were, you know, able to, you know, run through the Mets. And that's pretty crazy. You know, Diaz has blown a lot of games this season, you know. And, you know, when you play a team like the Marlins, and the Marlins are bottom of the barrel, they're sellers already. And, man, Diaz came in and he got destroyed by the Marlins. So what's really going on? What's really going on? I don't understand it. I can't.
Yeah, no, I think they should go with, since the Mets have ownership that can sign players that they let go in trades, because, for example, if I'm the Mets, so this is a question I have for you. Do you think the Mets can get a top-tier Jackson Holliday type of prospect for a Pete Alonso trade? What do you think?
Oh, that's hilarious. At this moment, I don't think anybody's willing to give up high prospects for him, okay? Now, we've seen a lot of Met players go in a different direction and become superstars, okay? We see it all the time. So, what is it? Is it New York? Is it the team? Is it management? What is it exactly that's different here in New York from another ball club like Atlanta? All right, we saw Travis d'Arnaud, you know, sink himself into a hole where I said to myself, this guy is never going to play baseball again. Atlanta picks him up and he becomes an amazing star. All
right. He's the number one catcher right now.
Okay. Listen, he had 3 home runs in 1 game this year. All right. He couldn't do that for the Mets. Okay. We saw, you know, there's a lot of guys out there. Look at Andrés Giménez, right, who plays for the Guardians, right? We gave him up, right? We gave him up for Lindor. We gave up Amer Rosario. We gave
who's
up
now in Tampa.
Giménez. And now he's Tampa, right? And Giménez, who's their number one shortstop over there. And he's become a star, too. There's a lot of players, you know. I don't know. A lot of players leave New York, the Mets, and they become stars. So we're starting to wonder what the problem is. What's the problem? Is it, you know, is it internal? Is it something that the Mets are doing wrong? Are they not developing their players properly? I remember last year, Tommy Pham, before he got traded to Arizona, I believe, speaking, you know, negatively about how they practice and how they go about their routine in New York. And Tommy Pham is a really serious player, you know. He's very quiet and he's not really vocal, you know, but his bat was pretty amazing. Last year, when the trade deadline came around, he was the only, you know, consistent bat that the Mets had. And then, you know, he goes out there and he helps the ball club, you know, in the run, in the postseason. But he helps Arizona out. I mean, he's older, too. He's a veteran. But, you know, when he spoke out to the papers and he said the Mets are, you know, weird in the way they develop their players and the way they practice. And, you know, it says a lot, especially when a player like that, you know, says something. Look at Stroman. Stroman wasn't as good as he is now while he's playing for the Yankees. You see what Stroman is doing? You know, even if Stroman doesn't win a game, he stays in the game for a long time. You know, he eats innings. Eater. Yeah, he's an innings eater, you know, which is interesting, yeah. You know. He's being competitive, all right? So
there's more pressure to play for the Yankees than there are to play for the Mets. It's just,
of course, you
know, the Yankees are the bigger brother in New York, and to see how well he's doing. It's funny because just to get on a sidetrack about Stroman, you know, a couple years ago when he was with the Blue Jays, you know, he was upset because the Blue Jays wouldn't trade him to the Yankees, and he said, well, forget that, and kind of like badmouthed he kind of was make a sidehand comment about the Yankees announcer, and he goes, well, I guess the second best place would be to go to the Mets, you know, and he didn't really want to be there. He really wanted to be a Yankee, you know. He's from the Bronx, so I understand that. But he rubbed the Mets fans, a lot of Mets fans, the wrong way. I'm not a big fan of Stroman. I think he's a great talent. He's just very snarky at times, but he's having a good year, so you got to tippy cat off to him.
Yeah, he's contributed.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with the Mets. It's so weird, man. You know, I don't understand what it is. The one that guy always comes to mind and always is several years ago, Jason Bay. He used to be on the Red Sox. He's really good. Yes. The Mets got him in the free agency. This guy's because he was a left fielder, I think, or left or right fielder.
Left.
He was right field. Left field?
Yes.
And he was, you brought up his name and you were like, who's that? Never heard of him. You know, he's just not recognizable because on the field he just didn't produce. He was just off. And then he left and he was back to being good. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the water and Flushing, or you can't blame the Wilpons anymore, as much as I love to blame the Wilpons because that's a fun game to play. Blame the owner, blame the owner, blame the owner. But Steve Cohen is not that type of owner. Now, the problem with, you know, Steve Cohen's not that type of guy. He's going to spend the money. He's not going to be a cheapskate. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But as far as, you know, players not playing well, I think we live in a world where players don't want to be told how to. A lot of players, today's players, don't want to be coached. Not everyone's like that. And if you got a bunch of players, because you know, people look at it like when you get to the pros, you're not going over a fundamental. That's something you've done your whole life, going from toddler all the way up to you get to minor, you know, the majors, you know what I mean? So it's like, am I really teaching fundamentals? But you know what? Sometimes you have to, because, you know, fundamentals are important. You know, what made Ron, you know, what makes Ron Washington so great, and what made, you know, the Dansby Swansons and Orlando Arceas of the world so good is because he taught them how to approach, you know, line drive ground balls, and it's worked, and they become really good and know how to, you know, control that side of the field. So I think technique is good, and but the problem is if you got players who don't want to listen, and nowadays the managers is a neophyte because everything is run by analytics. We talked about that earlier. Everything is run by analytics. Nobody wants to hear a manager, especially when you make more money than manager. I think the highest paid manager makes, what, $4 million a year? Look at the Aaron Boone on the Yankees. He makes like $4 million. Mendoza probably makes like $2 million, maybe less. I don't know. Exactly. So if I'm Francisco Lindor, I'm making $300 million. I have no respect for my coach because he's not even making the decision on his own. His decisions are made by some guys who are crunching numbers at Harvard University telling him that, you know, you got to play this guy because, you know, this is what numbers say. But meanwhile, Mendoza knows, you know, Lindor is off because, you know, he's not feeling well. Maybe Lindor is sick, or maybe, you know, Lindor's got a sick child at home he's got to deal with, or, you know, whatever, or maybe he came down with the bug himself and that's why he's struggling. But they don't care about that. They just go by numbers, and they just, so it's like, what effect does a manager or any coach have on these players? Really not much. And if a player doesn't like their coach or the manager, and they just think, you know, this guy's just here just to, you know, just he's there just to stand and look, you know, for the dog and pony show to make it look like we have a manager when you really don't have a manager. He's just a body, in my opinion. So it's like, why even listen to this guy? So I don't know if that's the issue. Money's the issue. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe they just don't have the right coaches in there. I don't know. Maybe they need to get new fundamentals. They need to do something. They need a new way to approach the plate.
A new hitting coach. I don't know what it is. But Lindor's a perfect example, right? So you pay all this money for this player, right? And you start to notice, right? Because I noticed, so I know they noticed that Lindor is not a switch hitter. I don't care what you tell me, all right? I'm watching this guy on a daily basis, right? I mean, now it's come to the point where I don't even want to watch the games, all right? Because I already know what's going to happen. So Lindor thinks that he can hit from the left side. I'm going to tell you what Lindor does when he hits from the left side. It's going to be a pop fly. It's not even going to be deep, all right? Not even deep enough for a guy on third to tag up and score the run, okay? Lindor is horrible from the left side. If I'm the Mets and I'm the coaching staff and whoever it is that's in charge of saying, Lindor, you are no longer hitting from the left side ever again. As long as you're a Met, you can forget about switch hitting. You're batting from the right side. The numbers are better from that side. And this is what it is. All right. We pay you to, you know, and we're going to tell you that you're no longer hitting from the left side. That needs to be said and it needs to be done. Okay. Because it's horrible. It's just horrible. All right? So they're telling me that he has to hit from the left side when a righty pitches? No. I'm sorry. He can't. He can't. Because you have to understand that the majority of the pitching in the major leagues is coming from the right side. So this guy is handicapping himself and trying to get a hit from the left side when he's not even approaching the ball properly, all right? It's 99% of the time it's going to be a short pop fly, and then he gets upset. And you have men on second and third, and Lindor's up to bat, and there's no way in hell that this guy's going to get these guys across to score because he can't do it. He can't do it. If I see it, you telling me they can't see it? He shouldn't be allowed to hit from the left side. He sucks at it. And he's really no good at it. I don't know who told him he was. He's not.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what is the reason why the Mets want him to be switch hit? I don't understand.
I don't understand because the numbers say that, you know, a righty versus righty is a lot more difficult than it is for a lefty. And then vice versa. You know, remember those old school, you know, matchups when they used to bring a pitcher in for a lefty and from the bullpen for the lefty matchup against, you know, but that to me, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't work for me because Nimmo's a true lefty and he goes up there and he plays his heart out and he hits the ball hard. Lindor can't hit the ball hard like that from the left side. He can hit it hard from the right side. I think he can produce a lot better from that right side. He's a natural righty. So forget about the lefty. And then, you know what really gets me angry? You hear the announcer saying, oh, yeah, he's getting better. He's getting better as the season goes along. You've been practicing all off season. You've been doing this
since February.
Exactly. Not only that, you've been doing it for your whole career. And the numbers aren't adding up. All right? So it's a wasted at-bat. All right. It's almost like you might as well let the pitcher hit, you know, because we already know if Lindor's batting from the left side, garbage. It's not going to happen. He gets lucky, you know, once in a while and he hits the ball correctly or he, you know, he puts it over the fence, but it's too rare. All right. It's almost like winning the lotto. It's too rare, bro. It's not going to happen. I think that he'll get a lot more, you know, good at bats, batting from the right side. That's just my opinion. I'm looking from the outside in. I'm a fan, and I'm also, you know, picking them apart.
I have a question for you.
Shoot.
If a team came to you at the trade deadline and said, listen, Steve Cohen, we really want Lindor. We know he has a big contract. All right. We'll take 40% of his contract. Would you take that? Would you trade Lindor?
No. You know why? Because we've been doing this for a while now. This is what we've been doing. We've been shipping these players away and sending them with money. So we're not going to win a championship this way. All right? We have to settle these contracts and we have to start fresh. All right, this is why I'm telling you that we need to get rid of Alonso, McNeil, Marte. You know what? I would even dangle Martinez because Martinez looks like he's unhappy. I think Martinez is a high-caliber player. He's a great DH, and I think that another team is willing to put up a couple of prospects even for a rental like Martinez. He's on a one-year contract. It's only $12 million. This is the type of guy that I would totally ship with 50% of his contract just to get the prospects, all right? Because of the way we're playing, it's pointless to even have him there. It's a one-year contract. Even Marte, if somebody wants Marte on his last year, I would ship him with the majority of his contract just to get rid of him and get some prospects. We have to look at the future now because it's pretty obvious that we're not going to go in the right direction with the team we have now. So why not?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It'll be interesting. The Mets have a lot of work to do between now and the trade deadline. I'd say more now than in the offseason because what you do now will dictate what you do in the offseason. So if you do let go of Alonso and all these other things we talk about, then you got to say, well, we really love Alonso. Do we want to bring him back? Now, you know, it's a surprising thing about Alonso is that most players – that are in their walker, they just, for some reason, they have amazing year. Look at Judge 2 years ago. Look at Otani. They have amazing years. It's funny. The best years are their walk years. For some reason, that hasn't been the case for the polar bear. So I don't know what it is. But anyway, it'll be interesting. I think I don't blame you for being upset. Yes, for you and Craig to be miserable because – you knew that there's a chance they weren't going to make the playoffs, but you didn't think they'd be this bad, you know?
No.
And they have way better, you know, they have big name players. It's not a bunch of nobody. It's not like the Orioles a couple years ago where they had a bunch of nobodies. You know, they're just, you know, slacking off. But, so it'll be interesting. But with that being said, on this segment, we'd like to point out the best hitter of the week and the best pitcher. So with that being said, who's our hitter of the week this week?
Well, once again, Mr. Clutch, our slugger of the week is Juan Soto. So he hit 2 home runs and probably the best game of this year for him, right? So He hit two home runs, right? That was part of a 4-for-4 day, right? With a walk and three RBIs. Are you kidding me? This guy can play anywhere, all right? A lot of players that, you know, play well for one team and then go to another, and then they have a hard time figuring it out, right? They go from the National League to the American League, and they go to different divisions, and then they have to figure out the pitching, and, you know, they have to get around a couple of divisional games before they're able to, you know, produce properly. But Juan Soto, doesn't matter where he's at, all right? Remember, he was in the National League East, then he went to the National League West, and now he's in the American League East. Doesn't matter where he plays. He's going to be productive, and he's going to be Mr. Clutch. 4-for-4 with a walk. That's 5-for-5 in my eyes, because if you walk, that's a hit in my eyes. With a 3 RBI day and 2 home runs on top of that, come on. What are we talking about right now? Of course he's the slug of the week. Insane. And our pitcher of the week is Luis Gil. I believe this is the same game, right? The same game. This guy, 14 Ks, right? In a 6-1 win over the Chicago White Sox on Saturday, this past Saturday at Yankee Stadium. This guy, 14 Ks, right? He strikes out the side in the third, the fourth, and the fifth. That's magical, right? One run, 5 hits, 1 walk, 6 innings. Insane. These are the Yankees we're talking about once again. All right? This is insane.
The rich just keep getting richer.
Yeah.
And Luis, I think it's Gil, I don't know his name, how to pronounce it, but either way, he was not their top 3 aces they were going to lean on this year.
No.
You know, their guys that they're going to lean on was Cole, Carlos Rondon, and I can't
Cortez.
Nestor Cortez. And now, what's his name already? His new Stroman. Thank you. I struggled. So to see this guy doing well, which is good for them, because this guy's been holding up the line until Cole gets back. So when Cole gets back, getting Cole back for the Yankees by July is like basically trading for
for number starter. One. It's not trading for a number one. How about that?
Yeah, trading for a number one starter. But the rich just going to keep getting richer, and the Yankees been able to stay afloat. I know a lot of Yankee fans are worried, oh, geez, how's the – you know, because the rotation does go as – and it kind of feeds off the start, you know, the number one ace. You know, I've noticed that with other teams in the past, you know, like the Dodgers, the, you know, the Astros when they have Verlander, and, well, they still have him. But, you know what I'm talking about. So, they come back, but Luis Gil's been great, and good for the Yankees, I guess. I hate to say it being an Orioles fan, but The Yankees are so good. I hate it. It drives me nuts. But this is why Yankee fans, they drive me nuts, because they cry about the littlest things. Meanwhile, they're having a fantastic year, but they cry, oh, because this guy's not producing. Like, who cares? One guy's not producing, but guess what? Other guys are doing freaking well. You know, Oswaldo Cabrera, do you know who he is? No, he's their third baseman right now. He's freaking killing it for them.
Yeah, and guess what?
They don't care.
The report states, the rumor states that they're willing to give him up for Arenado because they want that bat. They know that if they add that bat to the lineup and they add Goldschmidt to the bat to the lineup and get rid of Rizzo, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Can you imagine having those 5 guys, Stanton, Judge, Soto, Arenado, and Goldschmidt in your lineup on a daily basis, and that pitching phenomenal, and then you get Cole back, right? And then they'll probably get rid of LeMahieu, right? Because he plays third. Or maybe they'll keep him and, you know, keep him on the bench and then figure it out from there. But it's insane, right? And now the interesting thing to me is, all right, so let's say they do win a championship. You know, they're championship hungry. Like we were talking earlier on the phone, we were talking about how, you know, they retired all these numbers and they have an amazing history and they won so many championships, right? Think about it. If they win this year, are they going to spend money on Soto? You know, most teams, they dismantle and they start from, you know, scratch again. But if they win a championship and they go on a crazy postseason run where they lose two games, if that, because they're so powerful that they might want to do it again next year. But are they willing to spend north of $500 million to keep one player? That's the question. So I hate the Yankees. I'm going to say it. I'm going to put it out there. But I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. Like you said, they're not spending like they used to. And it's going to be interesting to watch. It's something to watch. It's something to keep my eyes on. You know, and, yeah. And you know, the other thing is that when my team isn't in the playoffs, for some reason, I can't watch. I can't watch the postseason. It bothers me. I'll keep tabs.
Oh, I can, man. I love baseball. I don't care. Even if my team, yeah, am I sad, but I'll definitely watch.
You watch, right? I have a hard time watching. Like, I'll keep track of what's going on. I'll read it. You know, I'll look at the box score. I'll look at stats. But I have a hard time sitting down and watching. My dad loves watching the postseason, no matter what. And he's, you know, he doesn't care. But I do. You know, when my team isn't in the playoffs, I don't really want to watch. But this year is going to be a little different. I'll definitely watch. I'll never wear a Yankee hat. I won't jump on their bandwagon, but I'll definitely watch because I want to see what they're going to do. And the offseason this year is going to be super interesting. I can't wait. Boris has a lot of work to do this year.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. We'll see what happens. But anyway, you have a trivia question? I'm not exactly sure.
I always have a trivia question for you. Of course I do. I always have a trivia question for you. This is a very interesting trivia question. And the reason why it's interesting is because for some reason, I didn't even know the answer to this question, right? I had to look it up. And it was interesting because you never see, you know, it happen right away after a player retires, right? So the question is, how many years do players need to be retired before being eligible for the Hall of Fame induction?
I was thinking five, but Derek Jeter, it's not five because Derek Jeter literally like 2 years after he retired, he was inducted. So I'm going to go with 2 years.
No, you were close. It's three, actually.
Wow, okay. It's so three. Derek was an anomaly.
Okay, exactly, because you realize, right, that every time, you know, they induct someone into the Hall of Fame and they collect these players and they put them together and, you know, they have to make a decision. You notice that a lot of the players are older, you know? And it's funny because if it takes 3 years for you to even qualify for it, you don't see a lot of these players that retire, you know, come up right away, you know? So it's weird. It's weird. But yeah, it's 3 years, believe it or not. 3 years.
Wow. Well, speaking of Hall of Fame and all that, our special podcast, we're going to do like a combination of topics. Our topic is about retiring numbers because the issue, you know, we quickly see in baseball is, you know, the Yankees are notorious for retiring numbers along with the Red Sox and all these teams. But the problem with that is every time we retire a number, that's a number that can no longer be recycled. So the two main questions in our next special will be about how should one be considered for a retired jersey number? And two, will we get to the day where there'll be players that will be wearing three-digit numbers like they have in the KBO? I think it'd be kind of cool. I've watched the KBO and all the players. You know, there's a lot of players in that league. KBO is a Korean baseball league who wear three-digit numbers. It makes no difference. But so that's our interesting special that hopefully we'll be presenting to y'all soon.
Yeah, that's going to be our next episode for sure. And we're going to combine that with another great question. Should a pitcher be allowed to win the game if his team is winning and he pitches less than five innings? We're going to combine those two topics in our next special edition episode coming soon. And that's a good one. We're going to combine those two topics and throw it into a special episode. That'll be episode 11 coming soon. And we're coming to the end of the show, and I hope you enjoyed it. And we'll definitely be seeing you soon.